La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
We made it. Welcome to episode 50 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. With Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so happy you joined us this week. You'll be glad you did. We've got a very entertaining conversation with a special guest coming your way. I suppose it's time to spill the beans, Jenny.
That's right, Jeff. Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with UC San Diego Athletics Director Earl Edwards. Earl was our very first guest on the show about a year ago with episode one, but a lot has transpired since then. We'll check in with Earl about leading during the pandemic, the very successful first Division I season, and so much more. Plus, we decided to make him squirm a little bit as Earl takes part in our quick pick segment. Our conversation with Earl Edwards comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. Do you remember our conversation with former men's soccer goalkeeper Josh Cohen back in episode 11? Well, the former Triton is doing big things in net overseas. Cohen recently led his Maccabi Haifa FC side to their first Israeli Premier League championship in a decade, and he was named the IPL's Player of the Season. That's tremendous.
Congrats to Josh. What an awesome accomplishment. And back here in La Jolla, big congrats to women's soccer senior Delaney Whittett. The Manhattan Beach native was named to the first team COSIDA Academic All-District. She'll now move on to the national ballot to compete for a spot on the Academic All-America squad.
That's really impressive work. Congrats to Delaney, and thanks for representing us so well.
Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego Director of Athletics, Earl Edwards.
Well, Earl, it's been a year since we've had you on the podcast, and now we are Division I at UC San Diego. We were in the throes of the pandemic. It kind of feels like we're on the back end of it now. How would you assess where the department is at this point, a year later?
Well, I'm extremely pleased with where the athletic department is after a year of going through the pandemic. When I look at the, from a work standpoint, the things that we were able to do, obviously virtually across the board, we really didn't lose a beat as far as operations. And then when I look at the success from a competitive standpoint within the Big West with all of our teams across the board, I am amazed and pleased and excited for the future because of the success we had in our first year of Division I within the Big West Conference. What I also observe, not only the success, when I look at the time period when we become a full member from the standpoint of participating in NCAA postseason play, which is 3 years down the road, I'm confident that we'll be competing for conference championships in a number of sports on a regular basis. So although we went through the unfortunate pandemic, I would say it's been a very successful year for us. And I'd actually put it in a very successful year for us, considering what we were able to do with our athletes and coaches within the Big West. So I'm excited for the future.
And I know you're a positive guy by nature, but how pleased are you, how proud are you of your programs for getting, I mean, the protocols that were involved and the amount of steps that were necessary and the levels of cooperation that took place just to put on events, to play games, and to get through this year? That's pretty impressive.
Well, it's pretty impressive. Well, it's very impressive. But it really was a major testament to all of our staff and certain individuals, maybe even more so because they were so involved with the protocols. But for us to be able to compete within the guidelines of the university and the Big West Conference and pretty much be in step and not really lose a beat to all of the things that were required, unlike many of our other schools where we lost a number of competitions because of protocol issues or individuals getting the virus. It just tells me again, and I say this often, and hopefully people don't take it for granted, but it just reinforced how blessed I am, or we are, to have such an outstanding staff that we were able to meet all those protocols. And I actually think the protocols helped us in other ways, in that the athletic performance that was done with all of the teams that started earlier than most universities and continued throughout, when you put the athletic performance things that we did along with the protocols, it just really reinforced for me that we have one of the best athletic programs in the country.
Well, and as we look ahead to next year, and again, the pandemic hopefully further in the rearview mirror, and a return to standard competition, fans in the stands, all those kinds of things, how excited are you about where the department is now and where the programs can be, you know, come the fall?
Well, I guess people look at me as a pretty calm guy, don't show a lot of excitement, but I have to tell you, I am extremely excited for this fall based on the success that we had this year, based on the role that the university is playing in terms of supporting athletics across campus, and based on the fact that we're going to be a major player, we meaning the athletic department, a major player in bringing the university back together as one because of the events that we have. And that's something I'm really proud of, because within the athletic department, we focus on the scholar athlete experience, but we also are a big part of the student experience across the board with the campus as a whole. So I'm excited for us athletics to take the lead on uniting the campus, creating school spirit, all of those things that we knew Division I can do, but it just takes on a much more impactful meaning as a result of the pandemic. So I'm excited to obviously to see the fans, to see people, to see the renovations that we've made in place, the soccer stadium, the arena in particular, those two places, to see how that looks when we have fans and people in the crowd cheering us on, and we're winning contests. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about how exciting it's going to be this fall and moving forward.
No, I think that's a great point, Earl, and it definitely extends beyond the campus, something you and I were chatting about recently as well, with the extension of the UC San Diego Blue Line on the trolley. By the end of this calendar year, there will be light rail service directly to our doorstep, all the way extending south to the Mexico border. So what can that do in terms of bringing the community to campus and specifically to UC San Diego Athletics?
Well, that just puts us in a whole different category, to have access, so people to have access to our campus using the trolley. Just adds another dimension to our experience moving forward. The exposure that we're going to get, when you just think about even if people don't come to our games or contests, the exposure that we're going to get because the trolley's running through our campus. I like to think of it somewhat like Disneyland and the monorail. You know, when you're in Disneyland and the monorail goes by, it just kind of adds to the bustle and the excitement. I think the trolley is going to do the same, especially when we look at our campus and it goes by the pool, it goes by the baseball stadium. Those two venues in particular will get a lot of exposure, and any exposure for them is exposure for the athletic program. So it just reinforces that UC San Diego is a big player in the city. I think a lot of people take us for granted, but when you look at the population and things that we do from a science perspective and technology, having UC San Diego on the blue line will remind people that we're here and we're a big player. So that adds to the excitement for the fall and the future.
Well, and you talk about a presence within the community and within the city. I hesitate to use the word rival, but how important is it for UC San Diego to be playing San Diego State, University of San Diego, to kind of develop those moments, those contests with our intra-city opponents?
I would say without question that the rivalry between USD and San Diego State, in my view, is even bigger than being in the Big West Conference. And I say that because they have a trifecta, if you will, of three Division I programs, three programs that are very different. It's something that'll bring the community together in a very unique way. It reminds me of my past experience of working at Drexel University in Philadelphia, where they had the Big Five conference, where the Division I schools in the city would play each other on a regular basis. And what that did for the city as a whole, it just really brought everyone together, not just for your particular college, but for the area as a whole. And I see the fact that we have three Division I programs. Essentially, I don't know, maybe there's an 8-mile circle. I mean, it's a very small circle. We're all very close. And the fact that I believe we're going to be extremely competitive in a number of sports, that the bang for our buck from a community perspective, I think, will be much larger with that rivalry, even more so than some of the rivalries will develop in the Big West. And it's not something we talk about a lot. We often focus on the Big West, but I really believe the D1 schools, us, USD, and San Diego State, it's going to create a buzz that's rather unique because of our proximity as well as our differences.
Definitely an exciting time to be a Triton for sure. Well, are you ready for some quick picks?
Sure.
All right. So we'll ask a question. You give us the first thing that comes to mind or your preference. Let's start with an easy one. What's your favorite topping on a pizza?
Pepperoni.
That's sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Well, you're a morning guy, right?
Yes.
I can tell by those emails coming in fast and furious. I love it. Beach or mountains?
Oh, definitely beach.
All right. Ocean or pool?
Pool.
Okay. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food is Italian food. I like Italian food. I actually grew up in a somewhat unique community in Staten Island that was at a large, it's probably half and half black and half Italian. So I kind of grew up on Italian food. So Italian is right up there. Lasagna is probably the kingpin.
I love it. So what, in your opinion, what goes in a proper lasagna?
Okay. The cheese is real important. The different types of cheese, I like that. I like a lot of meat. The seasoning, I like the seasoning to have a nice tomato, maybe even a little tomato sweet taste to it. I like multiple layers. Like my wife, I make a lasagna that's probably 5 or 6 layers, which is right up my alley. So those are the things I think about for a good lasagna.
Cooking with Earl is definitely a segment that's coming soon, but we'll save that for another day. I love it. What's one thing about you that most of us wouldn't know?
One thing about me that most of you wouldn't know. That's an interesting, okay. I'll do the one I've done before with this, and that is I was playing the cello as a class in junior high school. And I remember that one in particular because that's the class that I was in when JFK was assassinated and the announcement came over the PA system. And for you youngsters, obviously you doesn't connect, but I'm sure you've heard the stories of people knowing exactly where they were when that occurred because it was such a horrific and traumatic event for all of us. So I would say that the cello, and the other one is that I know you said one thing, but I'm actually a pretty good singer. I have an outstanding singing voice.
Do you perform in front of others? Do you do karaoke?
No, that kind of stuff. No, I don't do that. But I will say that it's been brought to my attention with simple things like singing the national anthem or the Lift Every Voice, the Black National Anthem, that when I'm in groups and I sing those, I often get the people next to me say, "Wow, you can really sing." Well, because I sang in the choir in church, I sang in the air choir in junior high and high school, so I enjoy doing it, but it's not something I would do, you know, as a single, and I'm not crazy enough to mess around with the what did you call that when you stand up and you're singing in front of folks, in bars or whatever. What do you call that?
Oh, karaoke.
Karaoke. I'm not.
I'm not a solo artist.
No, I'm not a solo artist. But I would also say, even though I give this comfortable, at least I think I do, comfortable outward appearance, I'm not one to, you know, jump on a spotlight. You know, to me, karaoke is a spotlight thing, and that's, I'm not one to look for the spotlight. If I need to be in the spotlight or in the forefront, I can do that, and I'm comfortable with it. But if I had a choice, right, I'd really just be in the background instead of the forefront.
So you're a background singer. Got it.
Okay, yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
What about the cello? When was the last time you played?
Oh, shoot, probably junior high.
How long did you play for?
I played for that school year. You know, we had a school band, so I just did it for a year. I just wanted to do something different. That's what I chose.
That's so interesting. Why'd you choose the cello?
I just wanted... You know, when I looked at the different instruments, I liked the sound of it. I liked the size, you know, because you have Dicello, and then you have the bigger one, of which I'm drawing a blank on, which was too big, but I just wanted something different. I like the sound. Those were the main reasons. I probably should have gone with guitar, because I did play the guitar for probably 3 or 4 years, and that was one of those things my parents insisted that we all do something musical for a while, so we went to music lessons when I was younger as well.
That's fantastic. I love it. What's your favorite holiday?
Favorite holiday? The only reason I'm hesitating is I like July 4th quite a bit. I like that because often my wife and I would be in Cabo during July 4th. But I also like Valentine's Day. Celebrating the beautiful relationship that I have with my wife. Just another way to confirm that love and support. So those would be my two. And I'm doing what I hate that other people do when you ask a question and you said one and I give you two. But
That's okay. I like these answers. They're very interesting.
Yeah, so one's more of a social and, holiday kind of thing. The other is much more personal. Back in the day, I would say Christmas when you have little kids and all that, but now it's just a very different time. So yeah, July 4th and Valentine's Day would be the answer to those two.
And I like that they're spread out too. You got one in the wintertime, one in the summer.
Exactly.
Pancakes or waffles or French toast?
Oh, pancakes without question.
Oh yeah, toppings?
Here we go. Pancakes, sunny side eggs, crack the yolk on top of the pancakes, let the yolk ooze over the pancakes, and then some bacon. Bacon on the side, bacon and sausage, but sausage patties versus links.
It's very specific.
Yes, how's that?
That's great. Reading or writing?
I'd say writing for sure. Yeah, my reading's probably more of a, one of the things I learned in school a long time ago. And when I read, I just do kind of skim reading. I'm trying to get more into reading, like an entire book. But I learned a long time ago the idea of reading just a topic sentence and maybe the sentence after to get a little flavor. That's what I have a tendency to do, but writing is something I don't mind doing. In both cases, I don't know if I'd say I enjoy as much.
Okay.
I don't mind doing those two. Reading, I would say, because I think when you ask people reading or writing, they have a tendency to focus on, from a reading perspective, on books, but I do like to read a lot of articles and things related to athletics and sports in general. So I read a lot of articles like that. I mean, for me, the first thing I do almost every morning is to read the D1 ticker.
So, oh, it's clutch.
Yeah. I mean, I read that virtually every morning before I do anything else. And it just keeps me in the loop. And often when you read the D1 ticker, there's reference to some other articles. So maybe I should switch it to reading.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, reading with the focus on sports or athletics.
I like it. Fair enough. Favorite vacation spot?
Oh, without question, it's Cabo. I've got a wife and I have a couple of timeshares down there, and We try to, when things are normal, go twice a year. We go in the summer, and then we like to go during Christmas time. So Cabo, without question, is my favorite vacation spot.
If you had to guess, about how many times have you been?
Oh, actually, we just started in the last several years. So it's probably 10 times.
Got it.
Yeah, so it's a new spot.
And what about a vacation place you most want to visit that you haven't been yet?
Oh, that's a good one. Vacation spot. I don't know, because there's so many places out there. I did go to Paris one for a short period of time. I actually was in England and went over to Paris just for a day or two. So I got the flavor, but I really liked that. So I would say Paris is probably right up there.
It's on my list as well. Get there one day. All right. So you mentioned Cabo. So let's go tacos or burritos.
Oh, burritos for sure. Yeah, I'm a burrito guy. I like the idea of what you can put in the burritos. I like the different combinations. Now, I know, I think it's somewhat unique, but my favorite burrito is a California burrito.
So good.
Yeah. So you're familiar with that?
Very.
Yeah, the idea of throwing French fries in there with carne asada or chicken or a bunch of different things. Yeah, I really like California burritos.
You cannot go wrong with that. That's now you're speaking my language.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, which one do you like? You like the chicken carne asada, and what's the other one? The beef one.
Well, I'm a carne asada guy through and through.
Okay, yeah. Hey, carne asada is good.
Favorite type of music or types?
Oh, I like, I'll just say R&B is my favorite. And I still like the R&B, if you call it R&B, from the 60s and 70s. Maybe it's more soul music, you know, the Temptations, the Marvin.
Oh, Motown. Love it.
Motown. Yeah, Motown is way up there. It probably would always be up in the forefront. I kind of grew up on it. It still has a nice, I think it still resonates for the youngsters that are just finding out about it. I think it resonates with them as well. So Motown would, yeah, definitely be up there, but R&B in general.
I grew up listening to that too, because I'd be in the car and my father would always have on the Temps or the Four Tops. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. So what led him down that path?
I have no idea, but that's, you know, since I was a little kid, that's what I remember listening to with my dad all the time. So love it.
Yeah. No, that's good. So that's been ingrained in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got it. I got the Temps on all the time in this house.
Oh, good. All right. Cool.
Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Well, this may sound very boring, but the French vanilla.
Not boring if that's what you like. So why French vanilla as opposed to vanilla bean or something else?
It just has another little sweetness to it, just something that's a little different. But yeah, I just like vanilla. A nice vanilla yogurt or ice cream is nice and simple. Now I have to admit, I usually have to throw something on it, you know.
Okay.
Whether it's hot fudge or some sprinkles or Jimmy's or whatever. Yeah, French vanilla.
And you go whipped cream and cherry or no?
Well, I'm hesitating because I do that periodically, but every time I do that, I feel guilty because my stomach is a little larger than I would like it to be. But I do that periodically. I don't do it all the time, but I do it.
And we'll end on this. Any summer plans?
No, not this summer, unfortunately, with some things going on at home. But I'm fortunate that staying at home's not a bad thing. And I say fortunate because my relationship with my wife, and then the house that we have with the pool and the jacuzzi and the outdoor bar and the TV. It's like a mini resort. So it's not, I don't really have any plans this summer.
With that kind of setup, it sounds like you're in good shape.
Yeah, I feel like we're in good shape and very blessed, and just looking forward to the buzz that you normally have when you're not dealing with the pandemic. You know, I'm sitting in my back patio now, and it's so quiet that it's still, to me, it's still kind of eerie. But it's getting better. In fact, it's getting a lot better. So looking forward to being at home and hearing that buzz of normalcy shortly.
Well, here's to hoping we're all on campus together again soon.
I'm with you on that, and I can't wait for that to happen.
Well, Earl, thanks for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff, for doing this and doing the podcast for the athletic department too, which is another great addition to what we do in athletics, and for it to be happening or starting during the pandemic is just another way of enhancing, getting the word out in terms of who we are and what we do. So thank you for creating this. Thank you for being the host, and I look forward to us talking again.
Wow, Jeff, what a great conversation with Earl. And I feel like I learned so much about him during the quick picks part, especially. It was great hearing everything he had to say about Division I and stuff. But I mean, I had no idea that he could sing or that he's so particular about his breakfast order. It was just such a great and fun conversation.
Earl played the cello? Who knew this?
I think next staff meeting, we're going to have him get it out.
I mean, this is unbelievable. It really was a goldmine, Jenny. And thank you to Earl, certainly for the time, but also for being so forthcoming. I mean, again, talking California burritos, I feel like that's come up a few times on this show, but good stuff.
Yes, always love talking about those California burritos. And yes, big thanks to Earl for joining us. I mean, having him on episode 1 was awesome. And now with this milestone episode 50, is really great having him back here.
And also, you weren't there when he and I recorded the interview, but listening to it back, it sounded like he was in an arboretum or some sort of nature sanctuary, but he wasn't. He was at home.
Well, it sounds like he's got a pretty great home, so it's a good place to be.
This is true.
You won't want to miss an all new episode of TritonCast next week. Coming up on episode 51, we'll chat with senior infielder Everett Lau from the baseball team. You won't want to miss his journey from his native Hawaii to the Bay Area to Auburn University, and now here to La Jolla. We'll ask him about that memorable walk-off grand slam that he hit to end the Triton season on a high note, and find out what's next for him now that his college playing days are over. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate the show, write us a brief review. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Verbal.
For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jeff and me at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.